As we turn to the Bible today, it's in Acts chapter 13, beginning at verse 44. You can find it in your blue Bibles on the front of you, if you like, at page 133 in the back. Or you can read on the overhead, or some of you have little gadgets you read from too, I think. Anyway, Acts chapter 13, verse 44. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. And blaspheming, they contradicted what was spoken by Paul. Then both Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken first to you, since you reject it and judge yourselves to be unworthy of eternal life. We are now turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, 'I have set you to be a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.'" Well, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and praised the word of the Lord. And as many as had been destined for eternal life became believers. Thus the word of the Lord spread throughout the region. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city and stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their region. So they shook the dust off their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. May he speak to us through his word today.
Today, as I mentioned, we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. You're familiar with, you know, the regular calendar that marks all the holidays. Well, there's also a liturgical calendar, one that marks the special events in the church year: Advent, Christmas, Lent, Easter. There are also other events that, unfortunately, sometimes get forgotten, but ones that are important for us to remember during the year. Pentecost is one of them. Pentecost Sunday comes 50 days after Easter. Pentecost marks the coming of the Holy Spirit and the beginning of the church. These two go hand in hand. The Spirit's power and the life of the church are always intertwined. When the Spirit fell upon them that day, the band of 120, you know, I guess we'd call them ragtag followers, became a church of over 3,000. We see in the book of Acts a story of changed lives. We read of many who are empowered in remarkable ways to do what they could never have done on their own strength. The disciples who had known despair came to a new outlook and hope. They looked to the future in expectancy and confidence. There was a profound inner transformation. The disciples were changed people. What then is the explanation of this transformation? It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, we see lives empowered and made new. The dramatic day of Pentecost so drastically changed the disciples' lives that they were never the same. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he said to his followers, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Even though Jesus would no longer be with them in the flesh, his presence would be known, his power experienced, and his work carried on through the Holy Spirit. So 10 days after Jesus' ascension, his followers were in Jerusalem, celebrating the Feast of Weeks. They were meeting in an upstairs room of a house in Jerusalem, and tradition says it was the same place where Jesus celebrated his Last Supper with them. That's why I figured it was important to celebrate communion, the Last Supper, before we then looked at Pentecost. And they were spending their time there exclusively in prayer and worship. As they were gathered, suddenly there was a violent wind, and tongues of fire came to rest above the head of every person there. And this is what we read in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Filled with the Holy Spirit, they found themselves able to speak in different languages. With the Jews from around the world who had come to town for the festival, this miraculous multilingualism allowed them to communicate with everyone. There's great symbolism in the picture of tongues of fire and wind of the Holy Spirit. Fire symbolizes power, passion, purity. And the Hebrew word for spirit is ruach, which means wind or breath. When the Spirit comes, it is the breath of God coming into us. For the past several years, you may recall that one Pentecost Sunday, we've had balloons that have been kind of set above everybody's heads. Kind of fun way to celebrate. We don't have balloons in the sanctuary today, but I do have one balloon here. You might call this a dead balloon, right? It's got no life. It doesn't move. It has no power. But if I take this dead balloon and do what Jesus did, if it pops, I have another one. There we go. It's now full of air. But it's not going anywhere, right? Until that power is released. Under the power of breath, the balloon can move. It goes somewhere. Jesus did not give his disciples the Spirit's power so they could just stay behind locked doors in fear. It's a power to be released into action. Well, that balloon died out quite quickly. If I had filled it with helium, it would have probably floated around here for several days. But eventually it would have drifted down with no more spirit breath in it. I think this is a useful analogy of how we are to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. We will never totally run out of the Spirit. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit living within them. But we have to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit, or we can lose some of the power that the Spirit gives us. Over and over again in Acts, we read how certain disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. Their filling didn't just happen once, but it happened repeatedly. So we need to be refilled. I read of a man who lived in Pasadena, California, and he went to watch the famous New Year's Day Rose Parade. And one year, the parade had this beautiful float, and suddenly it just kind of sputtered and ground to a halt. It was out of gas. The whole parade was held up until someone was able to get a can of gas, bring it to the float, and then get it moving again. The amusing thing was that this float represented the Standard Oil Company. Even with their vast resources, the company's truck ran out of gas. We too can neglect our need for spiritual maintenance, being refilled with the Holy Spirit. When D.L. Moody, who's a great evangelist of the 19th century, was asked why he continually needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, he replied, "Because I leak." In one of his devotionals, he wrote, "I am a leaky bucket, and I need to be refilled daily." Like Moody, we all leak. We all run out of gas and need the power of the Holy Spirit to recharge our lives. In Ephesians 5:18, Paul says to the Christians, "Be filled with the Holy Spirit." In the original Greek, the phrase "be filled" is a present tense verb. To signify a one-time filling, Paul would have used the past tense or a future verb tense. But instead, he chose the present tense. to denote that the filling of the Holy Spirit is not a one-time event, but a continual experience. He's saying, go on being filled over and over. As you read throughout the book of Acts, those who experience the outpouring of tongues in chapter 2, well, they still needed a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit by the time you get to chapter 4. Only two chapters later, those same apostles prayed to the Lord, and the place was shaken. Acts 4:31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness." As you read through Acts, you see the Spirit's continuing power on people to accomplish God's purposes. The Spirit filled Peter as he preached to the rulers and the elders of the nation. He filled all the believers with his power. He convicted Ananias and Sapphira of their sin. He empowered Stephen and those that were sent out to do the work of ministry. He directed Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch. He empowered Paul for his life and ministry. He encouraged the entire church. He directed Peter to go to Cornelius the Gentile. He called Paul and Barnabas to do their missionary work and empowered them throughout their ministry. These Christians were filled with the Holy Spirit. He moved into their lives, empowering them to be his witnesses. The focus on Pentecost Sunday sometimes is on global missions, going out to the four corners of the earth to reach different tribes and tongues. That is important, but also note when you consider this Feast of Weeks that many people from around the world came to Jerusalem. God brought the nations to the disciples. When you consider where we live, anywhere you go here in town, you can hear people speaking different languages. We don't have to think of our witness as, you know, going out there across the world. Our witness is to our neighbor, the person in line next to us, the person across the hall. Pentecost Sunday is a chance to remember that the Spirit calls us and the Spirit empowers us to learn and to communicate with those around us. The coming of the Spirit inaugurates the beginning of the church's mission into the world. In this story that was read by Marian in Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas are invited to speak. And the receptivity of the Gentiles is remarkable, especially when you look and consider the prominent cult worship that was present in the time of that city. The Gentiles received Paul's word with gladness. They saw that, yes, Christianity was the word of God. But amongst the Jews, there was a jealousy that was aroused. And the severity of the opposition to the gospel was so much so that they had to leave town. But amidst the difficulty and the rejection, note what it says in verse 52. "And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Harvey Potthoff comments, "The Christian community is portrayed as one of triumphant spirit. The note of joy and gladness permeated the book of Acts. Christians are seen facing danger and persecution in fortitude. They witness in boldness. Theirs is the power to endure in hope and to work in courage and gladness." How do we keep this aliveness, this fire burning, the Spirit moving when we encounter various difficulties? He can move in our lives with the same power that we saw in the book of Acts. But if we are comfortable and complacent in our spiritual lives, our witness, our ministry in the city and world, well, then we will not know the power of God's Spirit. We must admit that we need him, that we need him desperately, as we sang in the last song, just as these first Christians did. The gift of the Spirit is not limited to those on that day of Pentecost. Acts 2:9 says, "For the promise is to you and to your children, to all that are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. We can be challenged on this Pentecost Sunday with these questions. Is there the possibility of a changed life for me? Is there the possibility of a new power in my life? Is there the possibility of a new motivation for going out into the world and living as witnesses to the living God? The answer to these is a resounding yes. The experience of the Holy Spirit is the love of God being poured into our hearts. The physical manifestations are not the key. What matters is what happens in our heart. Father Rennero Cantamalesa states this: whatever the Holy Spirit touches, the Holy Spirit changes, even in our feelings, our emotions, and our way of expressing ourselves. We're to come with openness, knowing that we cannot do it on ourselves, realizing we don't just need his salvation, but we need his power. Coming with a longing to be filled, like the disciples on that day of Pentecost, waiting and praying. To be filled by the Spirit means to be under his control. It's a matter of asking him to empower our lives, asking the Spirit to take control of your mind, your time, your abilities, your life. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." He goes on to say in Luke 11:10, "For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks the door will be opened." And then he says in verse 13, "How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Why doesn't the Holy Spirit work in us today? Where he doesn't, the simple reason is we have not asked him to. Let's pray. And as we begin, I would just ask, what need, problem, pain, guilt, or fear is plaguing your soul today? Where do you need the Spirit of God to bring the power of God to you? He wants to fill us if we will but ask. And so I'd like to suggest this morning that if that's what you would like to ask for, that you just open your hands in kind of a stance of receptivity, saying, "Lord, I'm open to receive." And then just simply say, "Come, Holy Spirit."